Hello, I'm Glynis Crook. Welcome to Being Green. Los Angeles has dominated the news this week as firefighters battle extensive wildfires that have destroyed thousands of homes and left at least 24 people dead. Fierce seasonal Santa Ana winds have been largely blamed for turning the blazes into infernos in the city. While there's much speculation about what sparked the fires, it's clear that the high winds and extreme dry conditions after 8 months of little rain facilitated their spread. And scientists say climate change has made the grasses and shrubs that are fueling the fires more vulnerable to burning. I'm joined now by Professor Guy Midgley, Director of Stellenbosch University's School for Climate Studies. Guy, thank you so much for joining me again on the program. How much do you think climate change is responsible for the intensity of these fires?
Well, thanks for having me, Glynis. Well, I'm on the record as having said that the fingerprints of climate change are smeared all over this event. And so I think that it is quite easy to draw a pretty direct line between, you know, the factors that were in place and human-caused climate change.
I believe that temperature, wind speed, humidity and rainfall are some of the factors that lead you to draw that conclusion.
Yeah, there were a couple of factors in place. It's a very late start to the winter rains. The latest and the lowest rains on record for many parts of California. So that leaves the vegetation incredibly dry for this time of year. And then the slightly more complex arrangement of the very cold interior air over North America, which is partially a result of changing patterns of air movement in the jet stream around the Northern Hemisphere. And that created an additional sort of force to the Santa Ana winds, because it's those cold interior conditions that push cold air down towards the coast. Very dry air because it's so cold. And then as it warms, it becomes even drier. And that acts like a blast furnace if the fire's in place.
I've also seen that there's been a paper that suggests that something called whiplash conditions could be part of the logic behind, if you like, behind these fires.
Yeah, I did see that paper, actually. It's about the fact that with more variable rain, you get these natures whipping up and down. So last year, California had one of its wettest winters, and that allowed a whole lot of extra vegetation to grow. And now, so this year, with much, much drier conditions, you have a kind of, I can see exactly what they're saying, a kind of a whiplash. And this is climate variability, which is stoked by climate change as well. So that's another fingerprint.
So effectively, more rain meant more things growing, more drying out, more fuel for the fires. How is this going to get worse if we don't get increasing world temperatures under control? Or is it too late?
Well, I mean, these catastrophes are now with us, and the Mediterranean regions of the world are bearing the brunt, like us. So we had similar conditions during the UCT fire of a few years ago. And when you look at the data, you find that the risks of those events have almost doubled in the last 30 or 40 years. And I'm sure the same is the case in California.
We were in the middle of the so-called fire season here in Cape Town, and there have already been quite a few fires. Working on fire data, in fact, shows that in December, the wildfire incidents were almost double what they were of December 2023. Are we doing enough here in Cape Town to face this growing threat of fires as a result of climate change?
Well, we are one of the better prepared regions of the world. We've got a lot of expertise in fighting fires. The Working on Fire program has really pulled us along for many years. In fact, I think the Western Cape had one of the very first global environmental facility funded adaptation projects from the early 2000s, which I think also led to Working on Fire. So we're pretty well prepared. You know, there are only a few things you can do. You can try to control ignitions. So you can start, you know, try to prevent human beings from starting fires in silly ways. You can manage the fuel loads. In other words, you can burn vegetation preemptively to reduce the fuel loads. That's not something that the Californians can do as easily, because their chaparral vegetation builds up much larger fuel loads than is the case here in the Western Cape. You know, their soils are more nutrient-rich, and so that's a much more risky prospect in California. Yeah, and then urban design. You know, there was a very interesting case of a couple of houses that survived the fires in L.A., And one in particular was designed by an architect specifically to resist being burned. And it's very interesting to see what was done, you know, things like reducing the size of eaves, having a boundary wall around the property that would resist embers, and having a special kind of glass that wouldn't shatter in the heat so that the fires wouldn't get inside, all these sorts of things. So, you know, there are a wide range of things that one can actually do. And one of them is urban design.
And not allowing people to build in so-called fire zones is another measure. Thanks there to Professor Guy Midgley, Director of the School for Climate Studies at Stellenbosch University. And that's it for this week. From me, Glynis Crook, take care and goodbye. FMR.